We're back, listeners, and it's time for another episode of the Novel Expressions Book Club. I'm Natalie, the youngest sister.
I'm Jess, the middle sister.
I'm Pam, the oldest sister.
And I'm Nancy, their mom.
Today, we're discussing Belong to Me, which is the second book in the series that we started at our last episode by Marissa de los Santos. I wanted to say episode like four more times in my opening, but I couldn't think of like anything else to say to use it more, so I just left that one. So let's get into our discussion for this episode.
I liked how you opened this episode, Natalie. That was very nice.
Yeah. What an episode.
I try to vary the episode entries.
That's good. So I know we talked about Marissa's writing style last time, but I just have to mention it again because not only is she so poetic and does she write so beautifully, but she writes things and captures things that make me say, yes, I know exactly what you mean. That's exactly how I feel too. Or I agree, or I think so too. So here's an example for you. This is Cornelia speaking. The next day turned out to be the first day of fall, one of my favorite days of the year. I'm not talking about the actual autumnal equinox, which had come and gone a week earlier and had felt pretty much like all the summer days preceding it. What I mean by the first day of fall is that day when you suddenly understand with your whole body that the season has changed, when the air feels snappier against your skin and the sky's blueness turns wistful and the humming of insects shifts pitch, and you just know, like you know your own name, that summer is over. And even though I'm always very sad to have summer end, I do love fall. And I love when the weather shifts and it kind of just, I don't know, it's just a different mood. It's one of the things I love about living where we do is that we get to experience those seasons. So this was just one of those moments where I was like, yes, girl, you describe it so perfectly. And I just really appreciate that about her.
I just wish that retail stores and other stores wouldn't rush the seasons though. Mm-hmm. I was at a big store today, very common one that most of us probably shop at, and they had Halloween candy out, Halloween cards out. Mm-hmm. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Halloween is October 31st, right?
You need 2 months to prep and get those cards for the Halloween cards that you send. Do people send Halloween cards? Is that
there was a whole shelf. I mean, there was rack of them.
Somebody must. I don't, but somebody must.
I feel like I should start. I don't know.
I feel like we should be getting those from mom, like fashion them or something.
Yeah,
right? What the heck?
If it's recognized by Hallmark, it's a real holiday.
Right. Remember the year we got the really sweet Valentine's gift in a card? Maybe that.
I gotta say, although I mean I agree, I do also I like when fall starts, and I do feel like you can feel a change in the air. For me, fall starts Heartfield Kitchen every year. Pumpkin picking, Heartfield Kitchen, shopping at the Amazing Market, getting some delicious chocolates. That's my start of fall.
Yeah, that's good.
I also really, as we talked about last episode, really enjoyed Marissa's writing style. And I'm not a poetry person. It was probably my weakest area of the English language. And I actually felt like I learned a lot in reading this book and all the poetry references in it of like analyzing poetry. But anyway, not what I wanted to say. What I want to say is I really enjoyed that this book was written from the three different perspectives. And I actually didn't have a favorite. Normally, even in like a Beatrice book, there's one or the other that I prefer or one of the three that I prefer. I feel like I liked them all equally, and I didn't ever feel like, oh, I got to hurry up and finish this perspective so I can get back to Cornelia or back to Deb or back to Piper. I really was like in it for the journey with all three of them. And I feel like that's really a testament to Marissa, but also just like really kind of unique to have that experience with the book.
And I think part of the reason may be because each of their stories was so intriguing that it was okay when it switched because, oh good, now I get to find out more about what's going on with Piper or what's going on with Dev or what's going on with Cornelia.
Yeah. And I'll just add to that and say that I'm always impressed when someone can create a voice that is obviously so different from his or hers. So the fact that Marissa is capturing a 13-year-old boy, something she's never been, you know, is pretty cool. Now, the only thing I will say about Dev's chapters is when it got too sciencey, I did kind of go like, okay, let me get to the story part, because some of it, I was like, well, this is way over my head. So she clearly did a lot of research, or she's just brilliant in science as well, because some of the stuff he was talking about, I'm like, I kind of remember that name or that concept, but it was a little hard for me. But I love Dev's, I don't know, like his perspective on life and how observant he was of his mom and the people around him. So I agree with you as far as I didn't have a favorite character to read either.
And I think that's why I really liked Dev. And I'm the same way. I don't think I had a favorite, but I actually really liked the scientific part of his. And I'm not a huge science geek or anything, but
we know.
I feel like she did such a good job capturing a kid who's that age, but who is brilliant in that area and who thinks about those kinds of things and contemplates different parts of life. And I really liked that nerdy aspect of him. I am also married to a nerd, so that might be why I like Dev.
Speaks volumes.
But nerd OG, that's what he is. Nerd herd OG.
Nerdiness is my thing, that's for sure.
I was just going to say that, Jess. Like, I kind of feel like it helped me to maybe think about how my husband might think about life and what his mind does when my mind is not doing those things. Is doing
right.
different things. Doing things, but very different things. And that is probably closer to what his mind is doing.
Your brain's probably doing Cornelia things.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Very true.
I did love Dev as well, and I really loved reading about the relationship between Dev and Claire and like their little instant message chats and their emailing back and forth. Like, it was just, it was really cool to watch it blossom. Obviously, we loved Claire from the last book, and then to get to see her again in this book and building a new relationship with someone, I really enjoyed it. And then, of course, you know, they got to be together and their kiss, and it was just so magical. It was really cute.
Followed by dun, 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 right?
And I feel like for their age, they had a pretty
very mature
relationship, mm-hmm. you know, not like inappropriate beyond their years kind of thing, but just the way they treated each other, you know, for the most part in that conversation. Also, when you mentioned like the emailing and instant messaging, it was kind of fun to go back, not like way back in time, mm-hmm. but, you know, to...
There was no texting. They didn't have cell phones.
Early
2000s.
Exactly. Yeah. That was kind of fun.
And I will say this, one of the things that's interesting about both of them is they were both raised by a single parent, and both of them were, for both of them, they were the world for that single parent. And both had mothers who had issues. So it wasn't surprising that they would make some sort of connection as a result.
What is surprising is that they wouldn't be spoiled, selfish brats.
Right.
No.
Because of the way they were, you know, kind of.
But they had also gone through trauma too. I mean, certainly him being bullied at school was awful.
By a teacher, no less.
No
right. Yeah, shame on that teacher. And then, of course, Claire's mom's demise into, you know, her
Bipolar,
yeah, disorder.
I think in addition to Dev's scientific talk, I really loved when he described the feelings that he would have for Claire, or like what it was like when she would brush up against him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that that is how it feels, especially when you're that age.
Absolutely.
And it's like you're the first person you're interested in. It was so perfect the way he described it.
Yeah, I agree with that too. So mom said, dun, 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 and then talked about mom having issues. So we have to talk about Lake Ronnie, okay? And the lies. I just felt like poor Dev, poor Teo, poor Cornelia, who was befriended under false pretenses. And the thing is, I liked Lake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I liked her as a person. And I even understood, you know, maybe why she wouldn't necessarily tell Dev, you know, whatever about his father, you know, at first or whatever, but just, oh my gosh. And then like basically stalking, Teo
but honestly, and tell me this, why wouldn't she tell him about her? Why wouldn't she tell Dev about his father? Teo didn't do anything wrong. Teo never even knew. So to me, it seems like a really selfish thing to say, you don't get to know about your dad because it makes it uncomfortable for me. So
I agree. I mean, like, maybe not telling him while he's younger, because at that point she had already, she's already messed up at that point. You know, we didn't know it yet, our first read, but because she didn't give the dad an opportunity, then it makes her look bad. Whatever she tells Dev makes her look bad. Because it's not, and so just like shame on her for letting him believe that his dad, letting her own mom believe that his dad didn't want him. I mean, she really, and it's so frustrating, I think, especially because we know what kind of guy Teo is,
right?
Yeah.
And so we go through this time thinking he's this certain, that the dad is this certain type of guy, and he's so completely opposite of that certain type of guy.
Yeah. And that actually, Pam, leads right into what I wanted to talk about, which is one of my favorite passages in the book, but it was an extremely painful passage, were the 2 to 3 days when Cornelia and Teo were at home, kind of hunkered down in their house after they find out about Dev. And they're living in the same home, and they're living in separate orbits. And then one of them would have something that they thought about to say, and so they'd say it to the other, and then there'd be a little bit of conversation, and then they'd move away from that, and then they'd come back to another. But the one that I guess was the turning point was when Teo said to her, yes, all of this is terrible, but you understand that means we get Dev. Dev is, mm-hmm. belongs to us. And boy, that made all the difference in the world. So even though, oh, I don't know, it was crazy.
It was. So how we got there, right, was obviously the scene that happened at Lake's apartment. I'm trying to think of the specific example to make this correlation, but I think this is true. In the first book, Claire was kind of like, I don't want to say scheming, but she like orchestrated some things to happen, like how she did in this book. Am I making that up? Am I going to get confused with another young character in another book? Like how
say
she,
that again.
Like how she fake invited Teo and Cornelia to Lake's apartment. That's how they all ended up there, right? It's like,
that is true.
She orchestrated this and basically was like, Lake invited us, let's all go. They all show up thinking they're expected. They're very much not. Then everything comes out and everybody figures out what's going on. Unbeknownst to Claire, like, Dev was actually right. But I feel like in the first book, there was something similar to that where she like orchestrated a situation to occur so certain things could happen.
Well, I do know, like, she invited Teo to Christmas without asking her dad. But I don't think she arranged anything like totally without people's knowledge that I can remember. But she did definitely insert herself and get what she wanted in certain circumstances.
Okay, all right. Maybe I'm getting it confused then with someone else who was the character who did that? Who like would make up the, in which book was this where she would like, she made up a whole story about, this is gonna drive me nuts until I figure out which character. It was a young female character who would like tell these crazy stories and lies and then got caught in them. But it was like, For good. She was doing it to like get people together, get people talking.
I vaguely remember too, and you started almost convincing me that it was Claire, but I can't.
I think it was not Claire. Now that I'm thinking about it more, I think it was some other character. We're gonna have to brainstorm on this offline, but there was a character that would do this, and then she got caught up in it.
Well, and I will say her doing that, her inviting them over and then they show up with the fruit and the poinsettias and, you know, what a pot of plant or whatever it was. That was really risky regardless. It was kind of a moment where I was like, oh yeah, she's only 13 or 14 because basically she wanted to prove that her boyfriend was lying, you know? So that was a really risky way to do it. It was kind of like, I was like, Claire, what are you thinking? You know, and then I thought, Well, you're 13 or 14. That's what's happening here.
It was Will Traynor's daughter.
Yes.
And she was telling the mom and the dad different things. And then they told each other. And
thank you. That was going to drive me nuts.
You're welcome.
You should have made her wait.
Okay, so just for our listeners, JoJo Moyes' books, Before...
Me Before You.
Me Before You.
After Me.
So it would have been an After You and Still Me.
So this whole situation, I've read this book before. I was like, the whole time I was going like, I feel like there's something about this that I don't like. Like, I feel like I'm not going to be happy with who we find out Dev's father to be again, even though I know in theory in my brain somewhere who his father is. But I really liked the writing style. I know, like, in some books we've read where you get some hints and you, like, figure it out pretty early on, and then you're just like, okay, how are we going to get there to where everybody else figures out what's going on? But I feel like in this book, it wasn't until just before we actually got confirmation, or, like, Dev hypothesized that it was Teo, that we started to get the information that it could be Teo. And I really liked that because it allowed me to like Teo more and longer, and it made me feel like I was on that journey with Dev.
I think I always loved Teo. I think I always felt like there was a reasonable explanation. I think I got a little bit nervous at one point, but I think I was like, no, there's a good reason why he didn't parent Dev.
I never didn't like Teo. I just didn't. I'm glad that I did never get to a point where I was like, it's got to be Teo, and like early on, and then feel like he's just a fake, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think that she used some really cool foreshadowing, because it's one of those times where I didn't see it along the way the first time I read it, but then after I knew, it was like, oh, there were these little teeny nuggets that she had left. And so on the second read, I noticed those things, right. You know? But it's just that really good writing, that really good foreshadowing, that it doesn't give it away.
Right.
But afterward, you go, oh, duh, yeah, you know.
Like when she saw an expression on Deb's face and she thought, where have I seen that before? That kind of reminds me of someone. Yeah.
The other thing I was thinking, Natalie, when you're talking about giving us more time, I think that allowing Cornelia and Teo to have their pregnancy and get far along in that, and I wanted it to be just the three of them.
Yes.
Like, I went through that with her, like how she was feeling, like when she was so honest with Piper and said, but I had my plans, you know, and this isn't going how I felt that way with her. And then I also, like Mom said, when Teo said, but we get Dev, it was like, you know, so she just really brings us through it. You're right about that journey.
But you know, the nice part about that too was that even though he says that and she agrees to it when they're hunkered down in the house, it still doesn't really become, they still don't really become a family until after she's had the baby. And then she thinks, oh my goodness, go get Deb. That's his sister that we've just had. And that was just, loved that part.
I also really liked that Dev did not let his mom off the hook super easily. You know, he was mad at her. He left for a couple of days. And it wasn't until he talked to Lissa, who we really haven't talked much about, but she had OCD and she had, you know, tried to commit suicide. And she had said, and I thought this was really insightful, that sometimes it's a better idea to judge someone based on their intentions and not necessarily on the outcome of what happens, because she felt like, yes, Lake made a huge mistake, but the intention was not to hurt Dev in the process. And I think that helped Dev kind of work through that and maybe forgive his mom a little bit.
Her intention was to make herself look better.
No. I was just going to what was her intention? Because I don't think her intention was any better than what, you know, I don't know.
Well, her intention was not to trap Teo.
Right.
Which I think is good. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
We'll give her points, 0.5 points for that, because then Taya got to end up with Cornelia.
Mm-hmm. That's important. A good point.
I think she kind of made an emotional, immature decision to begin with. Mm-hmm. And then because of that, it perpetuated the lies going forward. Right. I think that's part of it. Instead of just coming clean, mm-hmm. she kept it going way too
long. And she didn't have any support from her family, so that made it even harder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Jess, you mentioned that Lissa has OCD. I know we've talked about this with other books as well, but this novel, I feel like, also touched on so many different types of topics, like familial and personal challenges, blended families, unexpected pregnancies, multiple of those, miscarriage, an abusive parent, OCD, societal pressures, adultery, cancer, grief, like, and it didn't feel like this story is crazy. It just felt like really real. And so I think that, again, just speaks to how well written it was.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, the passages where Piper was taking care of Elizabeth and her kids and all of that when Elizabeth was still alive, I just was like, oh, that was just, I was lost in that story. I mean, I was there and just grieving with her.
Yeah, I agree. And so that was an interesting dynamic for me, because when Piper was taking care of Elizabeth, okay, you know, Piper was good. But the way Piper was so many other times, and the way she talked to and treated Cornelia for a while, made me crazy. And I wasn't going to read this. I was going to recap it, but I don't think I can do it justice. And so here I'm going to give you my evidence again. School's back in session, and that's my jam, okay? So Cornelia is speaking, and then Piper, they're having a conversation. Cornelia says, she's talking about the miscarriage that Natalie mentioned, and then 9/11 happened, and she said, I just wanted to be someplace else, someplace boring, I guess. Well, of course you did, said Piper, and she touched Cornelia's arm at the elbow, just took hold of her fleece for 2 seconds, then let go. And suddenly everything felt like too much. Who could raise children in the city anyway? Piper scoffed. There should be a law against it. Cornelia sighed and gave Piper a weary smile that Piper had seen on other faces too. Her mother's, Kyle's, even Elizabeth's. One that said, just when I thought we were getting somewhere. The smile hurt. Piper cocked her head and frowned thoughtfully at Cornelia. Not to change the subject, but have you ever thought of growing your hair? Maybe a little bob? After Piper said this, she felt much better. Ooh! I mean, okay, so there's so much in there. First of all, Cornelia is sharing something like very personal and sad with her. And then it's like, is Piper trying to make her feel better? Of course you did. Who wants to raise children in the city anyway? And then when she sees this look on her face, recognizes that she's seen this look before, like she knows how other people feel about her and what she says. And then she just makes it worse by saying something nasty. I just like couldn't, she redeems herself other times, but there are times where I was gritting my teeth at her. I couldn't stand her sometimes.
I also felt exactly the same way for a good portion of the story. I actually remember the last time we were all together, Mom said something about Piper and I was like, oh, I can't stand her. And Mom was like, oh, really? I'm like starting to kind of feel for her now. And I eventually did. But I think what helped me is when we got to see little glimpses where she would talk about her mom and her insecurities. And it made me realize that she was just nasty to people because of how insecure she was. And so, although I couldn't stand her, I did kind of get it. I also hated what Kyle did to her right after Elizabeth's funeral. That was the worst possible timing. I'm not saying that their marriage was perfect and that she was a perfect wife, but he could have done that a lot better.
Well, not to mention the fact that he said that they'd been in love for 2 years.
Right. Yes.
I mean, come on. So you pick the day after the funeral, or I think it was the day after, right?
Mm-hmm.
To tell her you had 2 years?
So I am not going to defend Kyle. Well, it's going to sound like I am. Only because he made, along the way, he did try to have some conversations with her before Elizabeth got really bad. And Piper herself admits she even married him for all the wrong reasons. So I do wish he would have given a proper time for grieving before he did what he did. But I feel like like they should have had their conversation long before Elizabeth even was sick. And she should have known that too. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see Piper as kind of like a broken toy. And she has all these rules about what she has to do and what she should do and what it's supposed, everything is supposed to be like, and for her neighborhood or her family or whatever. And then she encounters Elizabeth's cancer. She encounters her growing feelings towards Tom. She encounters this girl, Cornelia, which she can't seem to wrap her head around. And she starts this evolutionary process of really finding who she really is, because all she had been was what everybody else thought she should be, or even what she herself thought she was supposed to be. And I love characters who go through that because of who they encounter and because of the circumstances that come into their lives. So I actually, yeah, she was a horrible person at first, but I really loved watching that transformation.
Yeah, I loved her by the end. I was like, yes, girl, get Tom, be friends with Cornelia, live your life.
And be brave. Stop being afraid. Be brave and be who you really are. Yeah.
That was one of my probably happiest moments, is when she and Tom finally did start like actually being together. I was like, yes, like you deserve this. Go for it.
But I also loved the fact that it freaked her out because it was her best friend's husband. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like she went into it lightly, even though Elizabeth probably would have been totally fine with it.
Well, she would have, right? Like she was held him.
She had asked him for a divorce. But I just loved the fact that she still wanted to honor her friend. She was a good friend to Elizabeth. And boy, to those little kids, oh my. Mm-hmm. Just broke my heart.
I also love the scene at the workout studio where Cornelia totally like came to her defense with like some cutting words to those mean ladies. That was amazing.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, Cornelia is so good because she really saw something in Piper and was friendly to her even when Piper was just like not someone I'd want to be friends with. But like you've all said, she was wonderful to the Donahue family. She devoted, you know, like so much to them. And I'm so happy for the kiddos, because that would be awful, 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 awful. And so for them to have her, that was good.
This is going to sound so silly, but the part that really, like, I actually cried in this book. And the part that made me cry was when Teo and Cornelia had gone over to visit Elizabeth, and it was her, like, last 2 days of, you know, feeling great. Mm. And she was talking about how she had heard that he was playing basketball with his shirt off. And Teo, this shy guy, stands up, takes off his shirt, and pretends like he's passing a ball in her kitchen. And I just like started bawling. I was making dinner and I was just tears streaming down my face, because I was like, he is so sweet to be doing something like this for this woman. So sweet.
And I love how secure Cornelia is, that doesn't even affect her. She doesn't care that these women are like checking her husband out. I mean, because Piper's looking too, not just dying Elizabeth, right? I mean, and she's just very like secure in their relationship. I love that.
Do you know what Piper said? He wasn't her type anyway, so.
Right.
Oh, Piper. Gotta love her. Well, you know, for me, I really loved what Cornelia said in one of the, I think it was the final chapter, when they, I think it was for the baby's christening, yeah? And she said that she wished they could all live together in one house. And I thought, I understand that feeling perfectly. I've often wished that myself about my family.
You mean like your sisters and stuff, like now at this age? That's what you mean, right?
I mean my personal children and their spouses and their children and so on and so forth.
Okay. Almost grandchildren.
Right. Great grandma almost. Well, I mean, I would say you already are.
Right.
So I read that part and I almost texted mom.
Did you really?
Right? You're a kindred spirit. Then I get into the dock and I see that she's put it in there.
Oh, that's so funny.
Like, oh, yeah.
One person that we didn't really mention, and he was kind of a small part of the last book, but I really liked this part in here, was Toby. And I feel like he's one of those guys that's just like happy-go-lucky, everything's great, he's on top of the world all the time. And I just felt like his story had a little bit of depth with him having the baby. And like, you know, he really wants to be with this woman, but she doesn't want to be with him. And then he realizes that this baby is like what he wants to live for. And I just really, really loved that part.
Yeah. I think their story was also very necessary for like what was going on with Cornelia and Teo. Like it was just like a extra volume, I'll say, to the overall story. But I agree. When he held his little boy, Jasper, mm-hmm. just such an uncommon name, but I actually know a baby named Jasper. And just was like, yes, this is my life. Mm-hmm. It is mm-hmm. so precious.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about? Did we touch on everything? Did we talk about all the characters?
Oh, I'll probably think of 10 more things later on.
You didn't talk about Lake's boyfriend.
Rafferty. I was just going to say that. Yeah. Wasn't it funny when Dev was kind of like checking him out? Like, mm-hmm. wait a second. Maybe we're in this apartment because it's mm-hmm. him. He's all suspicious. Yeah. Oh, and we didn't talk about Aiden. I love Aiden.
Yeah,
we mentioned Lissa, but I love Aiden.
Such a good friend to Dev. Such a good friend to Dev. I was a little bit, going back to Lissa though, I was a little bit afraid because for some reason in the back of my mind, I was going, she's not going to succeed the next time, is she? For some reason, I thought that there was going to be another suicide attempt and she was going to succeed. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why I thought that. Probably because her parents were so weird. Idiotic, her father, but I was glad that she was still in the story at the end and giving good advice.
Mm-hmm. I liked how she just called Dev on it. Mm-hmm. What's going on here? You know, she just put it out there.
Mm-hmm. And I did not realize that that was part of OCD, the whole like she was afraid to shout things out in the middle of class, so she would do those rituals, like weird sexual thoughts. I didn't know that was part of that disorder.
You just have those
ding 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 ding. Oh, I just
sexual.
I got the sex. Just
got some in.
You're welcome.
And I was analyzing her, saying that that's just something she normally does.
I saw your lab coat snap on.
Oh, double ding ding ding.
We had my stethoscope around my neck.
Dr. King actually entered the talk.
There is a stethoscope down the basement. I think it was Taylor's.
Oh my gosh. She's going to bring it to the next episode.
I could wear it.
Right.
She'll be so distracted if she does. She'll
be like checking her heartbeat the whole time.
That's true. And then she'll go, you guys, I think my heart's racing.
I don't hear it. I don't even have a heartbeat. All right. I guess that's that then.
All right. Well, listeners, in 2 weeks, we are going to be back with the third of this series called I'll Be Your Blue Sky. But in the meantime, make sure you check us out on Instagram at Novel Expressions Book Club. And if you like our show, please tell everyone you know to listen to it.
Until we read again.